go back to the pits of hell where you came from, you Babylonians, insane Babylonians. All right, folks, Yahweh's Covenant people, this is April 14th, 2017. A couple of quick announcements. First of all, Greg Howard's with us, and this is part 7 of the Apocalypse of Baruch. But I just want to mention really quickly a couple things. While I was away for the Feast of Unleavened Bread and, of course, Passover, I took a side trip and visited with Rick Tyler of Make America White Again fame. He ran for Congress in the state of Tennessee on that banner. And he and I and his son had a very long discussion. And we agreed that, number one, he would be a broadcaster on Eurofolk Radio. So we're going to set him up with his own show. And also we talked at length about doing a conference in 2018 called Stop White Genocide Conference, first annual Stop White Genocide Conference, which will be near Nashville, Tennessee, right after the 4th of July, the weekend right after the 4th of July. So I want to just make that announcement right away. And then I also tried to contact American Renaissance, which is the pro-white organization headed by Jared Taylor. But I found out, well, actually, I wanted to rent a table there and display our wares. And they were uncomfortable with Eurofolk Radio's anti-Jewish position. And they don't like to get into religion. I said, okay. So I looked up Jared Taylor, and lo and behold, I found out he's married to a Jewish woman. And also, I heard him say with his own mouth that he is not an absolute racial segregationist. He believes that if white people want to marry black people, that's fine. So, yeah. So I said, okay, no point in even, you know, trying to make the American Renaissance conference, which is July 28th this year. So I said, forget that noise. Jared Taylor's group is not really with us. It's just paying lip service. And so that very disappointing, folks. Very, very disappointing. But we will continue with our we made a list of over 20 pro-white organizations that are opposed to white genocide. And we're going to make overtures to all of those, with the exception of American Renaissance. We're not going to bother with them, because they really don't believe in the separation of the races. Your comment, Pastor Howard?
Well, brother, in the there's a note in the chat room to tell you that Kent has not yet received his calendar.
Yeah, I just mailed it out to him because I tried his address, but then I got a note that he's so far out in the boonies, the post office doesn't deliver to him.
Oh, so, I envy him that.
Right, yeah, right. So I sent it to his P.O. box. Hopefully it gets there this time.
You know how far out I want to live someday, and I can't even believe I'm going to say this on online. But I want to live so far out in the woods that, all right, here it comes. You ready? That, one, I can get drunk. I can run out on my back deck naked with an AR-15 and open up and just let fly with lead, and nobody comes and takes me to jail.
Okay.
That's
boy.
How far out I want to be. And that was too much information. I apologize. But in my mind, that's how far out I want to live.
Uh-huh.
Where I could get that crazy and they don't come and lock me up.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, dream on.
Yeah, dream I know. On. It's mm-hmm. going to never happen. I seem destined to live in a city, you know?
Yeah, right.
Hard to live out in the middle of nowhere when you need to make money.
Yes.
But it's good to be back on the show. I know we missed last week.
Right.
And, you know, we're continuing on in this amazing vision of Baruch, written 2,500 years ago. Baruch was the scribe for the prophet Jeremiah.
Right.
So he was a contemporary of Jeremiah. And obviously he himself was a prophet. I mean, look at the book he wrote. You know, I mean, I think the prophecies that he wrote rivals anything else that anybody else wrote.
Yes.
And his visions, kind of like Enoch and Ezra, seem to have been written specifically for the people going to be alive at the end of the age, kind of as a hidden word to sustain them in the crazy times that are obviously approaching with great rapidity I mean, you pick up a newspaper, not that we read a paper, but you go to an online website that lists news and you're thinking nuclear war could break out today. You know, we could get into it with Russia. You can just
Donald
sense
Trump
the Jews
himself.
Are stirring the pot
behind
the scenes.
The war. Yeah.
You know, they've gotten to Donald Trump. It couldn't be more obvious.
Yeah.
They've gotten to Donald Trump now, and he's unleashing things that none of us would have thought he would be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and we shouldn't be surprised by this, brother. We're witnessing the buildup to
I'm
the end of this age.
Right.
Why would it be calm? Why would it be peaceful?
No.
Say anywhere that it's going to be that way, or does it say that it's going to be the worst time the world has ever seen?
Right, and we will have tribulation. Now, lots of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And the vision right here of Baruch in chapter 53, which is the actual vision itself, he talks about at the end with the vision of the 12 bright and dark waters.
Mm-hmm.
He said that at the end, the waters would be darker than had been all the waters that were before.
Mm-hmm.
He said that fire Darkest. Would be mingled with those waters, and where those waters descended, they would wreak devastation and destruction.
Yeah. Which
this is what
doing.
We should be looking for.
Yes, yeah.
I mean,
in Europe, the prophet, and America, Australia, Canada, all the white countries, fire.
All of them.
Yes, devastation.
We're under siege. Amen. The dark waters are being literally poured out upon us. Dark waters, obviously, representing dark races.
Yes,
it couldn't be more clear.
Right.
And the bright waters, obviously, is us. I mean, you know, the most retarded person on the earth could figure out who the players are in this vision with a little bit of reading.
You're reaching, Greg. You're reaching. All right. Well, we left off last time, according to my notes, chapter 58, but I know you want to do a little bit of recap. So why don't you pick it up wherever you feel?
Yeah, well, I just want to talk again for a minute on where we are in our current moment of time. We're at the end of this vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we're in the 12th pouring out of the waters.
Is it 11:59 yet?
We are going to go historically in the coming weeks through all of the 12 waters because Yahweh gives the revelation to Baruch through the angel of what all the waters were. And it's clear we are in the final stage of this vision. And guess what happens after the end of the pouring out of the 12th waters and the destruction and the devastation? What comes next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The lightning descends from the summit and comes to the earth to illuminate the whole earth. Well, gee, what could that be?
Yeah, well, first with fire, and then with wisdom and light, right? But first with fire. Yep.
So I'm trying to say this. We should be extremely excited to see this vision and where we are in it right now. Because according to this vision, we're in the final stage before the return of Christ to the earth to set up his kingdom on this earth, to destroy the wicked, to heal our people, and as the vision goes on to say, that he took hold of the whole earth and had dominion over it.
Yes.
And the 12 rivers were ascending from the sea. They begin to surround that. I'm subject to it.
Yeah.
The 12 rivers is obviously the 12 tribes of Israel. What else could it be? It has to be that. There's no question about it. And we're seeing the buildup to the return of Yahshua Christ to this earth. We're in the final days. You know, it just makes it so clear. But, you know, this incredible invasion of our white lands by dark races, this hasn't been going on all that long. I mean, there's always been a slow infiltration of them.
Yeah, about 50 years. Yeah.
But they are now literally being poured out by the millions in white lands. And you can't even say, no, I don't want them here. Or you're branded some kind of a hater, you know? I mean, they want to plant 200-300 Somalians in various towns across the United States. Who in their right mind could think that is anything but a total disaster?
Right.
What possible good can come of planting this this filth among our people. It's clearly meant to destroy us, exactly like it said. Fire was mingled with these waters.
Yes.
Where these waters descended, what did they do? They brought devastation and destruction.
Yep.
That's what happens when you plant 300 Somalians in a town.
Yeah, right.
You get devastation and destruction. You don't get anything positive whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know?
Unquenchable desire for more of our stuff. We can't give them enough stuff. And then when they don't like what we give them, they set fire to our neighborhoods or their neighborhoods, right?
They rape
our women.
Cities
are going to burn. Yeah. Amen.
They rob us. They steal from us. They bring absolutely nothing positive to the situation whatsoever.
Yeah, nothing at all.
There's not a single attribute that they bring that we would desire. Nothing.
Yeah.
And well, I don't like to pick on them too much, but they're ugly as hell, too. I don't even want to see them. Forget about their behavior.
Yeah.
I do not want to see these people.
Right. Well, I was standing right next to Rick Tyler when he received the phone call. The news came very late at night that Trump had shot missiles into Syria in retaliation for a non-event, an event that never happened, okay?
Right.
So we, all of us in the room, that were extremely disappointed with Trump that he fell for this.
Oh, yeah, man.
And, the disappointment just continues to grow and grow and grow. And then today I'm disappointed with Jared Taylor for his statement that he doesn't think it's bad for whites and blacks to intermarry if they feel like it. All right. So, it's been a good week for tribulation. I'm going to read chapter 5 of Matthew.
Okay.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Okay? So, as we see that we are being major persecuted, rejoice and be glad because he's coming.
Amen, brother. Amen. Anyway, what a time we're living in right now, and I'm pleased that we're going through this book. You know, I mean, we went through it a couple of years ago, but there's so much in here. You know, it's like brand new going through it again to me.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and now the chapter that you said that we left off.
Yeah, it was 58. We got through all of 58, but it's been a couple of weeks now. So if you want to do a little background back up into the one of previous chapters. I like chapter 56, where it's talking about nevertheless.
That's what I'm looking at too.
Okay.
Yes.
Nevertheless, because thou hast besought the Most High to reveal to thee the interpretation of the vision which thou hast seen, I have been sent to say to thee, and the Mighty One hath assuredly made known to thee the methods of the times that have passed, and of those that are destined to pass in his world from the beginning of its creations even unto its consummation, of those things which are deceit and of those which are in truth. Now, of course, we're talking about the entirety of the biblical narrative from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, from the beginning to the consummation. All right?
Right. And this is a very important verse right here.
Yeah.
Because this breaks down the chronology of the vision for us, as if there was any doubt. The vision itself really makes it pretty clear. But just in case you're not getting it, you know, the angel is saying, this vision covers the time from the Garden of Eden to the return of the Messiah to the earth and everything in between.
It just occurred to me that the consummation is when the fat lady sings. Right?
I did not think of it quite in those terms.
She's singing,
you know?
Bro. She's singing. Sorry to interrupt.
And also, it breaks it down of those things which are deceit and of those things which are in truth. Mm-hmm. And how much deceit is there in this whole flooding our lands with these dark races, the dark waters, and telling us it's for our own good. And right. we need, you know, we have to have these people here. You know, we have to have, we're too monolithic. You know, you think of that little Jewish Barbara Spector and her little Europe won't survive without being flooded with these other peoples. And, right. you know, your town is too white. You need four right. Mayans in there to kind of diversify yourself. You're too white. Your town is too white.
Yeah.
This is tremendous satanic deceit. And unfortunately, many of our people, their ears are so filled with Jewish nonsense and lies and distractions and a thousand other things that have distracted them from the ability to know truth when they see it and know deceit. So they believe this lie.
Yes.
And people like us who actually see the work for just speaking in common sense, you know?
Yeah.
Look how they condemn anyone that speaks out against immigration. Mm-hmm. You know, that you know, they're threatening to boycott companies that want to build the wall down on the southern border. California threatened to never do business with any company again that had anything to do with building that wall.
Well,
can you imagine such a thing?
Well, since California's bankrupt, they're not able to pay anyhow, so right? Doesn't mean much, right? Yeah. Verse 4, and it came to pass...
This is the insanity of the time.
Oh, yeah, it's totally insane.
...time that we're living in. Are you hearing me all right?
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, so... But please continue.
Yeah, I was just saying, what a strange time it is that war has been declared upon us.
Yes, it has.
And if we speak out and say, you know, we don't really like these people, you know, 100 Somalians to move in next door to you in some kind of big center. You're a hater if you speak out against that.
Yeah.
That's insanity to not be able to fight against this.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Incredible to me.
Yeah, if you don't like rape and murder, there's something wrong with you. But this is how crazy it is. Okay. Verse 4, and it came to pass when the word had gone forth from his presence that the duration of the world had come into being in a small degree, which would be, you know, the beginning of the world that had Adam in it, Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
and the Adamites, was established according to the multitude of the intelligence of him who sent it. And as thou didst previously see on the summit of the cloud black waters, which descended previously on the earth, this is the transgression wherewith Adam the first man transgressed, okay, which is intermingling of the seed. The black
right.
cloud was the coming of the black races, and not just black, I think it's talking about all non-white races here. And the Bible does record that Adam partook of the same sin that Eve was seduced by or deceived by. But Adam was not deceived. He partook of interracial sex is what he did.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's how he
transgressed. You'd have to conclude that, even though it never directly addresses it.
Right.
It's the only conclusion that you can draw based on the, you know, the outcome, the judgment, the bringing forth of children, the covering of the genitals with leaves, mm-hmm. you know, as Eve did, Adam did that as well. And it's extremely likely that his sin was of a sexual nature.
Yeah.
Perhaps with a fallen angel. They don't really detail it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Nahash, you know, the very deceptive and clever one that was able to have a philosophical discussion with Eve and talk her into breaking Yahweh's laws, which, you know, they were instructed not to touch any of those other quote-unquote trees in the garden, okay?
Right.
But she was deceived, meaning that she didn't realize she was doing wrong. But
right, and Adam clearly did.
Yes.
So that that was the initial transgression.
That's
Eve sinned as well, but Adam willfully did it.
He did. Probably
he wasn't deceived.
Probably because he was, disappointed with Eve, right?
Well, who
and
knows how
cynicism
who knows how
there?
This satanic being may have appeared to him.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. he may have appeared in the form of some, you know, incredibly attractive, sexually arousing type of a female.
Right.
Cool. And Adam's like, hey, Eve did it. I'm in.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
why not?
Why right? Yes.
I mean, let's face it. We have weaknesses in that area.
Yeah.
You know, and these satanic beings, these fallen angels, who can imagine the powers that these creatures had?
I never even looked at a fallen angel.
You know?
But can you tell one if you meet one, right? Oh, for owing
well,
to...
you know, I always remind myself that the Jews have the blood of these creatures in
That's
them.
That's right. They do.
This is why they have such, not so much an intelligence, but a cunning and a craftiness that is far beyond our race mostly. And they network together. They're not more intelligent than us. That's ridiculous. We're the most intelligent race on this planet, times 10. But the Jews play on our naivete, and they have millennia of experience, and they have the blood of these fallen angels in them through the seed line of Cain. And I always remind myself, who knows what kind of insight that gives them into us, mm-hmm. into causing our destruction.
Yes.
I mean, look what they did to Adam and Eve. You know, would you think that you're any sharper than Adam was?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any of us could be susceptible to these things if we're not on our guard.
Pastor Steve, was it Whoopi Goldberg that seduced Adam? I don't think so, Pastor Steve.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Right. Verse 6. For owing to his transgression, untimely death came into being, and grief was named, and anguish was prepared, and pain was created, and trouble
That's right.
perfected, and boasting began to be established, and Sheol to demand that it should be renewed in blood, and the begetting of
Amen.
Children was brought about, and the passion of parents produced, and the greatness of humanity was humiliated. And goodness languished.
Well, brother, what a happened. Spectacular verse to explain what went on.
Yeah.
You know, if you only go to the book of Genesis to figure out what happened in the Garden of Eden, it's very unclear what took place.
Right.
But that's the beauty of many of the beauties of these apocryphal books is the additional insight and information they give.
Yeah.
Enoch also gives us... Enoch flat out says that Eve was seduced by Gadriel, the fallen angel.
That's right.
And here we're shown that the result of the sin in the garden was the begetting of children. Gee, you think the sin had anything to do with how children are beget?
Right.
The passion of parents produced.
Mm-hmm.
So out of whatever that sin was, it involved begetting children. It involved passion of parents, and passion has a sexual connotation here.
Well, of course it does, yes.
The greatness of humanity was humiliated. Oh, how true that is.
Yeah.
We've never been the same since.
Yeah.
Goodness languish.
Yeah.
What therefore can be blacker or darker than these things? This is very, very profound here. I love this book.
Yeah. It's very profound, very poetic, well translated. If the original Hebrew, was this from the Hebrew or from the Ethiopic? I forget. But
it's probably in the notes. I'm not even sure.
Yeah. This is really poetic, strong, profound language. It is really well done. Really well done. But then in verse 8, this is the beginning of the black waters which thou hast seen. Okay.
Yeah. To answer your question, I just found it.
Okay.
The original translation from Syriac. Translated 1896 by R.H. Charles.
Okay.
Trinity College, Dublin, Ireland, and Exeter College, England. So Charles was a master translator of these old languages.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
A master, you know. His theological notes you can mostly dismiss because, you know, he didn't see – his gift wasn't theology. His gift was language. So
yes.
I hardly ever even bother to look at his notes because most of them are just ridiculous. He didn't see Plus, he was back in the 1800s, so the
sure,
you know, he didn't really have a chance to see the rise of Jewry in the world, you know.
Yeah,
like we have.
Right, right. In verse 8, this is the beginning of the black waters which thou hast seen, which could be, you know, the black race and all the non-white races and mulattoes, you know, the interbreeding of other races with the white race.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
And it quite likely was, you know, it's likely that, you know, well, this statement, the greatness of humanity was humiliated.
Yeah,
right. Let's assume here that this word humanity means white humanity. And,
right.
And I think in the context, what else could it mean?
Sure.
So the greatness of white humanity was humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he gives us a couple of ways. Passion was produced. Begetting of children was brought about. Those are not necessarily great humiliations. But the great humiliation may well have been what you just referenced, where our blood may have been mixed
mm-hmm.
with these other bloodlines, which was absolutely forbidden. And that probably is what I think is referencing, that the greatness of our bloodline was humiliated.
Right. Well, verse 12 is more specific, and some of them descended and mingled with women. Okay, which obviously means other women, with women of other races. Okay.
Yeah.
And then those who did so were tormented in chains. Okay. Well, actually, he's talking about the fallen angels here. Okay. In verse 10, he seems to suggest that Adam was a danger to his own soul. Even to the angels was he a danger, which is kind of an interesting statement.
I've got a thought for that, but I want to back up. If you could read verse 9.
Okay.
Again.
And from these black waters again were black derived, and the darkness of darkness produced.
Now, remember, all of these waters are peoples.
Yes.
You know, we're not talking literal water, floods. So I think what this is saying here, if I'm reading this right, that from this horrific sin, it says, one, the greatness of white, we're going to just call this white humanity. That's obviously what it means. The greatness of our people was humiliated. And then a couple verses later, it says the darkness of darkness was produced. This has got to be talking about mingling our blood with these dark races.
Of course.
And this brought about humiliation to us. And
it still is.
Yeah, I mean, what a disaster it is when mm-hmm. our people mix with other races, in particular women. And we've all seen it a million times. You know, the disaster that happens when a white woman hooks up with a black. Most mm-hmm. of the time, they end up dead.
Yes.
Many, 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 many times, they
brutalized.
End up dead. If anybody want to check out newnation.org, there's story after story after story of a white woman going out with a black, thinking it's so cool. After a few weeks or a month or whatever, she begins to realize, oh my God, this is a disaster. I'm breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happens when you try to break up with one of these things?
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
You know, with their lack of impulse control and whatever. The general thought is, you know, bitch, if I can't have you, nobody gonna have you. Boom, I'm gonna kill you. And,
yeah,
you know,
right.
They have no consequence thinking, yeah. If I, you know, do this, I'm going to prison for life. They, you know, they're impulsive.
Yeah,
right. They'll kill without even thinking about any consequences.
Right.
You know, it's unbelievable how they think, if you even want to call it thinking. And time after time, these white girls end up getting murdered.
Yeah.
Or if they're lucky, just beaten to a pulp, and maybe they survive.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
More than likely with a, you know, a little lifelong reminder, you know, of a little mongrel to take care of. I mean, it's just incredible to me how naive our women are. But I always remind myself that our women have been seduced by the serpent in this age as well as in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
The serpent is still alive on the earth in that race that we constantly, you know, talk about, the Jews. That bloodline still exists in them, and they are still beguiling our women every bit as much as they did in the Garden of Eden, only now they have even more ways to do it.
Yes.
With the media, with movies, with, you know, education system, and 100 other ways where they're just continually brainwashing people on race,
mm-hmm.
you know, and encouraging our women to go out with blacks and
yes.
men of other races, but blacks in particular, because they know that's the quickest way to destroy a white woman
Amen.
And her bloodline.
Amen.
Hook her up with a black, yeah. and we'll just, you know, we'll just cross that bloodline off the list. That one's
right.
that one's done. Let's move on to the next one. It's
well,
like
the
they're checking the box.
Yeah, the book of Jasher is very specific.
You know?
It's in stating that the sin was committed was mixing of seed lines, of not just of white and black, but of even non-human
right.
with Adam kind, okay? So
yeah, Jasher did allude to that for sure.
Yeah, right.
But, so, you know, this is an interesting statement now. I think we're kind of coming up here to verse 10. We're talking about Adam. For Adam, was a danger to his own soul. Even to the angels was he a danger. What an interesting statement that is.
Yeah. Well,
I think in the context of these few verses is the mingling of the races,
mm-hmm.
the mingling of angel kind with white females, the mingling of Adam with the unmentioned but alluded to black
right.
waters, the dark
mm-hmm.
races.
Mm-hmm.
And now somehow Adam himself is a danger
mm-hmm.
to the angels.
Okay.
So you try to wrap your head around this. How would Adam be a danger in the context of race mixing to angelic beings?
Right.
And here's my thought on it. Not that he himself could race mix with angels, but angels obviously had proved that they had weaknesses
mm-hmm.
because they were looking upon white women and lusting after them. And Enoch details that they descended to the earth, they mingled with women, giants were born. It was a total disaster.
Right.
Now the angels are observing Yahweh's created man, Adam. Adam has now race mixed with the other dark waters. There's the danger to the angels.
Right.
They would follow the example. They would
well,
go, you know?
Yeah, verse 14.
Some of those black women, they're kind of exotic looking. I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we go down and do it? You know,
yeah.
I don't. I mean, this is the danger of Adam to the angels.
Yes.
Influencing them that the fall of the angels could continue through Adam's influence. That has to be what this is saying.
Well,
I don't see any
14,
other possibility of it.
Verse 14 suggests your interpretation. But the rest of the multitude of the angels, of which there is no number, restrained themselves.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
However, verse 10 could be a reference to Adam's threat to the angels before he fell. And Dr. Wesley Swift and other sources have stated that Adam was designed to take over. In fact, even Paul says that we will rule over the angels.
Right.
Once we fulfill our destiny. And this
Ezra
is
that, says that right, as well. Yeah.
Right, right. So that Samael, the fallen one, saw in Adam was a threat to his superiority at the time. Okay? So his only option was to make sure that Adam and Eve fell so that they could not threaten his superiority, because Yahweh fully intended for Adam and Eve to produce an immortal, yet more physical type of being than the angels were. And that this type of being would supplant these angels. And Samael was the head of them. He didn't like that. Okay, that's another interpretation.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, I find in verse 14, but the rest of the multitude of the angels, of which there is no number, restrained themselves. You would think that an angel, an angelic being with power that was, you know, if you ever want to see the power of angels, find the third book of Enoch. Enoch gets into the study of the angels and details their powers,
right,
and the angelic armies, and it's very, very profound. The power of angels is unimaginable, brother.
Yeah.
He talks about some of the angels that had the power literally to swallow the earth, right, in one go.
But even they can be tempted, is what he's saying here. But they did restrain
exactly.
themselves.
They are not omnipotent beings, apparently.
Right.
They have to restrain themselves, and obviously some of them did not restrain themselves, and they disobeyed Yahweh directly. So they're not perfect beings. They're not perfect beings. And this is where I think this thing of Adam being a danger to them, I believe the danger was, you know, if Adam continued in the race mixing with the dark waters and likely having sex with women of other races, he may well have influenced some more of these angels to rebel and come down and join him. And who knows what a disaster that might may have been.
Yeah. Yeah, and then verse 16, this blending of the black and dark, the white and dark waters, these are the black first waters. So this is the first sin, and this was the reason why the deluge had to come.
Absolutely.
To wipe out, and of course, it doesn't talk about giants here, as the scriptures do and as many other documents do. It simply talks about the mixing of the black and white waters, and that this is why the flood had to come.
Yeah, right. Yahweh had to destroy.
Yeah,
and you know,
otherwise there would be no pure bloodline. Noah and his family were the last pure bloodline.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it wasn't the apocalypse of Baruch's job to detail all the other aspects of this time, because there was the Book of Enoch. You know, there was the writings of Moses concerning Noah, and Enoch details Noah quite well. Noah and his family were like the final, what do they call the final pure seeds of a thing? I mean, Noah was literally,
remnant.
Appearances, he was the last pure-blooded white man, he, his wife, and his sons.
Right.
They were the final pure white bloodline left, and it shows you how bad it must have gotten.
That's right.
If that's
almost
all that
as bad
left.
As today.
You know?
Right.
I mean, you know, when we're going through this, to me, this is the very essence of what I view as Christian identity. This is the real meat of our belief system that we, you know, it continually validates Christian identity to me. Not that I personally need it validated. I know it's truth. But I love the fact that when we get into these books, everything that we're studying and reading is a perfect validation of the theology of Christian identity.
Amen. That's for sure.
You know, we don't have to
tweak it.
We don't have to make up stuff.
Right. Okay.
Essence of.
Yeah. Okay. You're fading in and out.
Peace war from the Garden of Eden that isn't going to end. Yet. This race war is never going to end. Until the end of the age.
That's right.
A race war, basically our race against all the other races.
Right.
Okay, they're trying to destroy us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, let's do a quick recap of chapter 57. And this is about Abraham. And so because Abraham appeared, this is bright waters, you know, the appearance of Abraham. And I'll just read verse 2. Because at that time the unwritten law was named amongst them, that is the Abrahamites, and the works of the commandments were then fulfilled, and belief in the coming judgment was then generated, and the hope of the world that was to be renewed was then built up, and the promise of the life that should come hereafter was implanted. So this was a bright period with the coming of Abraham, okay? And verse 3 concludes, these are the bright waters which thou hast seen. So Abraham did know the law, but it was not yet written down.
Right. And how, you know, and here it absolute cutters are people. And it tells us,
right.
Oh, those bright waters you saw?
Yeah. Yeah, people who are obeying
the law.
That's
the seed line of Abraham, the founder of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
This race in this vision, and the first bright waters that came to the earth was Abraham, obviously Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And the 12 tribes of our people, bright waters that were planted on earth. People.
All right, so
waters of the angelic significant figure in our history.
All right, okay. You're breaking up very badly now. Let me disconnect and reconnect, okay? Because it's I'm losing you a lot. So let's try to quickly disconnect and reconnect. So hang on, everybody. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's see if we can get Greg
better
back
now.
On here. Testing. Are you there, Greg?
Hearing.
Hello. Okay. All right. Hopefully that's a better connection. All right.
You can hear me now?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to chapter 58. And the black third waters, which thou hast seen, these are the mingling of all sins which the nations afterwards wrought after the death of those righteous men, and the wickedness of the land of Egypt, wherein they did wickedly in the service wherewith they made their sons to serve. Nevertheless, these also perished at the last. It kind of leaves out the story of Nimrod, but the evil of the land of Egypt is expressed here, okay? So after Abraham, we had the evil of Babylon and Egypt. Okay, so these are the dark third waters, as Baruch expresses it here. Your comment?
Well, I'm looking at the notes that I had written the first time we went through this, even just going back to the chapter. Continuing on in the fountain of Abraham, and we have the seed of the serpent continuing on as the dark waters. I mean, this is the foundation of Christian identity right
That's
here.
Right.
I mean, is it not? Christian identity as we know it is the true belief system for Christianity. The more I study it and see it, the more clear it becomes. People are saying I'm cutting out, which...
Well,
I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing you guys fine. I'm hearing you fine. I'm plugged in. I don't know why I'm cutting out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you've been steady for the last minute, so please continue.
So, anyway, I just so appreciate the continual validation of Christian identity. And no wonder it's so hated.
Right.
Of course it would be hated. You know, the Jews will tolerate mediocre, you know, Judeo-Christians. They give money to, you know, Holocaust victims that are starving and, you know, worship the Jews as the chosen people. Sure, they'll tolerate that. But how about a group of Christians that actually knows the truth about the Jews?
Right.
They're never going to tolerate us. They hate our guts.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. The evil seed line hates the good seed line, the holy seed line, right? There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. It's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's that simple. They hate us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you had read, you had jumped into chapter 58 here a little bit.
Right, the Black Third Waters.
You.
Yeah, yes, I did. Okay. So, but also talking about the evils of Egypt, and I added the evils of Babylon and Nimrod, those also perished, which brings us to chapter 59, the bright fourth waters. Okay, so let me just read a couple of verses from this. And the bright fourth waters which thou hast seen are the advent of Moses and Aaron, and Miriam and Joshua, the son of Nun and Caleb, and of those like them. For at that time the lamp of the eternal law shone on all those who sat in darkness, which announced to them that believe the promise of their reward, and to them that deny the torment of fire which is reserved for them. Now, this has to apply to Israelites.
Oh, yeah.
Who deny the law. Has to.
So here we see that the Israelites are identified as the bright waters.
That's right.
You know, the bright waters before we saw was the fount of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing the continuation of the bright waters is Moses and Aaron and all these white men and white women. I made a note here, bright waters equals white men and women.
Right.
I mean, it's really pretty straightforward.
That's right.
And
asterisk.
And how clear is it here now that we're not talking about Jews who identify themselves as these ancient Israelites?
Yes.
There's no possibility that these people could be Jews.
No,
Jews do not have a belief in an eternal life, in a reward in the next life.
Right, they don't.
You know? I mean,
because they won't. Right?
I think deep down they probably have a fear.
Right? Oh,
of the afterlife, knowing what their evil is. I think they sense judgment awaits them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just sit there and go, well, you know, when you die, that's it. And, you know, there's no afterlife. You know, that's what they wish. They wish they would just die and go to sleep. You know, mm-hmm. They'd be way better off if that was the case than what they kind of probably believe is waiting for them.
Yes.
But there's no way these bright waters were Jews.
Right.
As we know Jews today. Not a chance. Absolutely no chance.
No.
These were white men and white women, and that's just the way it is, you know. And fortunately, in Christian identity, we're very clear on that.
Right.
So,
well, the Jews are definitely the children of darkness. There's no doubt about it, right? They're children of darkness.
Yeah, they reject Yahweh.
Yeah.
They spit
his
in
law,
the face
totally
of Christ. They revel in the fact that they were the ones that murdered him, you know,
right.
And that say they would do it again.
Yes.
So there's no way these creatures were these amazing people back in the day.
Yes.
Those two bloodlines are as far apart as they could possibly be.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Right.
And
well,
we are the bloodline continuation of these people. And make no mistake about it, brother. And I don't know that we made a big deal out of it last time, but do you know who the bright waters are in the final days on the earth? And you got to be specific here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it can only be the remnant of Adam kind.
Yes.
I
would even drill down more. I would say it can really only be the Christian identity believers,
okay,
and maybe a few others that, you know, see a little bit of something of the truth of race. But I believe that Christian identity believers are the bright waters at the end of the age.
Right.
And that's why we've been given the privilege to find these books that nobody else knows about and to study them and have it unfolded to us what they're actually saying. Do you know how few Christians, if you said, hey, man, have you ever even heard... Do you happen to have a book of the Apocalypse of Baruch?
Right.
Or, you know, have you ever read Enoch?
Have you ever read the Bible?
These people don't even know these books exist.
Right, right.
You know, because these books are not for them.
Right. Well,
these
and
are
even
for us.
Even American Renaissance doesn't understand that you cannot have mixing of the races. It's just not acceptable. That's the cause of all our problems. We cannot.
Isn't it clear when you see it? You know, I marvel that sometimes that people don't see what we see. I get why they don't, but sometimes I just think, you know, would you really want your daughter, your 17-year-old daughter, to date that 20-year-old black guy? What possible good could come out of that?
Right.
Why would you
Nothing
allow
good
your
could
daughter,
come out of it, right?
Your pure daughter that you have poured your life into, that is the continuation of your ancestors going
Bloodline.
Back, being white,
right,
thousands of years, so that your family in this generation is still white, and you're going to allow your daughter to go out with that black kid?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? I want to grab people, and I just want to shake them and go, right. Wake the hell up, man.
Right. Yeah, perversion and debauchery.
What do you think he's going to do to her the first chance he gets?
Of course.
These creatures are a walking set of genitals with a life support system attached to it.
Right.
They're thinking one thing.
It's called the welfare state.
You know?
Right.
God, it makes me insane sometimes. Yeah, I tell you, I have to bite my tongue every time I go out anymore.
That's right.
You know?
Right. And you probably have to wear a gas mask. So if you do say something.
I didn't make that statement was not original to me. I read that on a website one time, that your average black is a raging set of genitals with a life support system attached to it.
Right.
I thought that's the best description of them I've ever seen. I just used that ever since. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the way they act. That's for sure. Right.
So, are you kidding me? Especially if they got a white woman.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that's the ultimate status symbol for one of them.
Sexual
victim. To have a white, especially an attractive white woman.
Right.
Unbelievable.
But now verse 3 in chapter 59 is interesting. But also the heavens at that time were shaken from their place, and those who were under the throne of the Mighty One were perturbed when he was taking Moses unto himself. Now this could be a reference to the Passover and the great tribulation, you know, that occurred in the land of Egypt, which fortunately most of the Israelites were spared, okay? But even here, we could see that the heavens were shaken. We had, of course, the pillar of fire that accompanied the Israelites out of Egypt. And finally, they came to Mount Horeb, where the law was given. But yeah, I can see it. A major shaking of the earth going on at this time.
Yeah. And Moses, you know, I don't know if it's detailed anywhere else. There is a book called The Apocalypse of Moses. I have a copy of it somewhere, an online copy. But Moses was apparently given tremendous revelations, similar to what Enoch was shown, where Enoch was taken to the heavens.
Okay.
And Moses was also taken up to the heavens. I'm thinking that this is what this is referencing, where he, you know, Yahweh actually took him up to the heavens to unveil certain things to him.
I see.
And according to the writings here, some of the angelic beings were not happy about it.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
You know.
Too much knowledge.
And Well, I mean, remember
the jealousy. Angelic jealousy over Moses and Adam and Eve before they fell.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, angels have issues.
Right.
You know. I mean, we hold these creatures
apparently
up as if they're something big, and I.
So do we.
One of them.
Well, verse 4 is saying exactly what you're pointing out. For he, that is Yahweh, showed him many admonitions together with the principles of the laws and the consummation of time, as also to thee, and likewise the pattern of Zion, which is our government, and its measures, our kingdom, which was to be made in the pattern of the sanctuary of the present time. Okay, so this is saying that Yahweh revealed to Moses more things than are stated in Scripture.
Exactly. And he continues on in verse 5 with other revelations given to Moses. Moses got the tour of the heavens,
right?
As did Enoch. But then he also showed to him the measures of the fire, also the depths of the abyss, the weight of the winds, and the number of the drops of rain. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You know? So Moses saw many things, and the angels were irritated. Like, you know, just like they were when Enoch was shown. They're like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, right.
Kidding me?
He's not an angel. Why is Yahweh revealing all these things to him?
You're bringing a man into the heavens?
Right.
You know,
How dare you, Yahweh? He's not even an angel. What's he doing up here?
So it continues. He was shown the suppression of anger, the multitude of long suffering, and the truth of judgment. No wonder Moses wrote some spectacular books.
Right.
After being shown this. I mean, the writings of the first five books are I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff right there.
Well, and I think that this explanation lends credence to why Moses pleaded with Yahweh not to destroy the Israel people.
Exactly.
Because
yes,
he had a vision into the future of what, you know, what the ultimate outcome would be. And this
that's
why he loved the Israel people as much as he did.
Right. Even though they were a disaster. And they were probably worthy of being destroyed to a man.
Yes.
And so weak. Yet Moses saw the consummation of the age. He saw the time that we'll rule on this earth. And he pleaded and interceded, and Yahweh listened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he was an incredible man, having been shown this. And it goes on. He was shown the root of wisdom and the riches of understanding and the fount of knowledge and the height of the air and the greatness of paradise, the consummation of the ages, and the beginning of the day of judgment.
Okay, not the end, just the beginning.
Now listen to this profound thing. It continues on. Moses was the man.
Yeah.
And he was shown the number of the offerings, and then this unique statement, and the earths which have not yet come.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I made a note here that just was like, you know, what does that mean?
Right.
He was, we have one earth here, but according to this, Moses was shown earths which have not yet come.
Right.
Who knows what brother will await us
in
eternity?
Well, a new heaven and a new earth, it says in the book of Revelation. There might be a few more after that, but probably not as devastating for our race as this coming one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the revelations to Moses continue. We're going to have to review this next week.
Yeah, right.
And the mouth of Gehenna, the station of vengeance, and the place of faith, and the region of hope, and the likeness of future torment, and the multitude of innumerable angels, and the power of the flames, the splendor of the lightnings, the voice of the thunders, and the order of the chiefs of the angels, the treasuries of light, the changes of the times, and the investigations of the law. These are the bright fourth waters which thou hast seen.
Okay. So Moses and Baruch, because Baruch is being shown these things as well, have seen all of these bright fourth waters, which undoubtedly gave them courage to go on. Okay.
Oh, no question. And now we see why Moses was able to write the books that he wrote.
Oh, yeah. And with great perseverance and determination and, you know, how should I put it? Faithfulness to Yahweh, for lack of a better expression, right?
Yeah, why don't we stop at that point, and we can go back and review the revelation of Moses next time.
We'll pick it up in the middle of chapter 59. This is fascinating. It's poetic vision of the future and poetic relating of the past in a very, it's hard to express in words. Poetry is the only word I can think of, right?
What a book this is.
Yes.
What a book.
Yeah, it's just outstanding literature. It's outstanding literature for the Adamic race. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, we passed the ammunition. We'll pick this up next week. The Apocalypse of Baruch, outstanding Israelite literature. Praise Yahweh.
Amen. Praise Yahweh. Good night.
Good night.